This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Diamonds in my teeth, I got a lot of shine. Running up the number, that's a lot of crime. Try to take it from me, must be out your mind. I need a lot of shine. Smokey in the air, that's a lot of pine. Pockets running over.
Welcome to episode 419 of 4th and John. I'm Dale Saunders here with Evan Hollywood Hearn, Mr. Primo in the building, and a.k.a. Tim, a.k.a. King Fly John, in the building. Today we're talking about the rookie minicamp recap. Obviously, it's the offseason, and obviously, us Eagle fans, the diehards, are out here wanting to talk about anything Eagles. I think we got a glimpse of something. You know, anyone who's going to talk about anything in specifics to this practice, the beat writers only had 15 to 10 minutes to see these guys in action. Let's chill a little bit, you know. But they got to see some undrafted free agents. They got to see the draft picks. They got to see some second-year players. And they got a couple tryouts. I know John Ross was in the building. Jakeem Grant, I didn't know, was in the building until a nice interview. But I felt like I just needed to hear something.
Yeah. I wanted some reassurance for it because after leaving the draft, I was feeling really good about the picks. I feel like Howie had knocked it out of the park. But, you know, as we sit here in these offseason months and we sit here without football, we look for any little nibble of Eagles news that we can get. And so, you know, this rookie camp allowing them to have access to the media and kind of let the media just initially pick these guys' brains. I loved it, man. I thought that there was a lot of good insight. Jalix Hunt's interview was great. I mean, he seems to have an awesome personality. I think he's so
– Hey, Pepe.
Because of the small school and kind of background he comes from, he comes across as a really relatable, you know, down-to-earth type of guy. So I think he's a personality that is going to, you know, mesh really well on this team. And, yeah, dude, it just seems like a bunch of dogs again. So, you know, I'm excited to see the two DBs and see how it all fills out. I'm excited.
I totally agree. The fact that we had an awesome draft and then to be able to get any little piece, like you said, mentioned about these guys and anything Philadelphia Eagles related definitely helps us. But, you know, don't get me wrong. I want to be able to enjoy my summer the rest of spring, you know what I mean? So I don't want to rush too fast into the football season, even though, like, when it gets here, it gets here. And then, you know, when it's that time, we're all in. We go, you know, 110% with it. But, yeah, man, I mean, just for the little bit of interviews that I did see, it's all positive attitudes. You see the dog in these kids, man, and this is what we talked about. This is what we wanted. You know, Quentin Mitchell, like they just keep talking about this kid, and it's like every day you see something new, something different coming out about him, and it's exciting, man. I think the best feedback that I got was I believe that was his father in the car that was giving the I don't know if you guys saw that his dad was giving like some interview about his son, how he grinds, how he has that perspective to always be better than somebody. He went into the combine, wanted to go ahead and beat the record. Didn't happen, but that's the mentality he has going into every competition that he gets. He was talking about how he wanted to be the first defensive player to be picked in the draft, and because he wasn't, it's like a little chip in his shoulder that he's going into the season with, you know what I mean? So it's just things like that, and just knowing that we were able to go ahead and swipe this kid. with that mentality is good stuff, man. So, yeah, you know, I agree with you, Evan. Any little thing right now we hear about our birds is definitely going to go ahead and get us all more hyped up.
Most definitely. Anything with the Inkling will let us do anything with the Eagles, man. I'm just like, I'm psyched and geeked up. What I'm most interested in is Hunt, man. I'm so interested in him because just to see the way that this dude has came from so much. I mean, he came from being a safety to now being a defensive end, or I'm sorry, off a linebacker. Go get the quarterback. He is going to be that chess piece for Vic Mangio. And I also love the conversation that Nick had with the media, just basically talking about the relationships. And this year is going to be different, and it's going to be different after that. And what I've seen is the growth in Nick. And, you know, we'll get into that, though, once we talk about the prospects in every interview when we talk about Nick. We'll get into that.
No, I think off the rip, I just think, you know, you said some things about Quinyon. Obviously, I feel like that's my son.
Why do you get a first round pick, son, and I get a tight end, a third string tight end?
Because that's how it works, Evan. But I wanted to go into just being at the Senior Bowl. Just that experience has been crazy. Obviously, the Eagles drafted 5 prospects from the Senior Bowl. This is probably why I go down there. We'll go into Quinyon Mitchell, but this is what Jim Nagy from the Senior Bowl recently said about our prospects. They posted this today. They said 5 Senior Bowl players drafted. This is from the man himself. Again, I got that intel from him early that made me feel good about it. He wouldn't give me the – I was grinding him. I still haven't posted that interview because it was just – I was grinding him on, like, is he a – back into the first round prospect. He's like, I can't answer that off film right now. Like, I was just like, what? Come on now. Like, you can't tell me. But he was like, as soon as the cameras were off, he's like, boom. He gave me the nugget that I needed to make me feel good. But this was his scouting report of Quinyon Mitchell. He said, Quinyon Mitchell checked all the boxes prospect with Pro Bowl upside. Elite size, speed, combo with blue collar, overachievement makeup, embrace competition mobile, Senior Bowl, press man reps, elevated draft stock. Should be an immediate starter outside. So, I mean, you know, just, you know, obviously Nick Sirianni talked about seeing that burst that you saw from him during the pre-draft process in rookie mini camps. I think they got to be excited. So I think, you know, tonight we are going to talk about the prospects and their future roles this season. So yeah. I'm already saying starting corner, but
starting CB2.
Yeah.
I could see that happening as well. And you privied me to something that I hadn't known about the Senior Bowl with you being down there. But I just absolutely love the mentality of it and the dog in him. For a guy that went to Toledo, you mentioned how he was initially recruited to Alabama, you know, and to pass up going and playing under Nick Saban and having an opportunity to make a name for yourself at Alabama. He bet on himself and went and played in Toledo. And then to go down to the Senior Bowl with that chip on your shoulder where all these guys are looking at like, what is this guy from Toledo? What's he going to bring to the table? And you mentioned how the wide receivers that are lining up across from him, he's going, come here, Georgia. Come here, Florida State. Not even address them by their names, just by their school. I absolutely love that, man. Like, that's exactly the type of mentality of a player that I want to have. Like, he knows that he has the talent to compete at this level. And it seems like the scouts seem to agree. And I think that he's going to fit just fine in this Vic Fangio scheme. I'm really excited to see him cross from Slay. But I will say, I think that, like, it was a funny little joke in the beginning talking about, like, oh, like, you know, I would love to move with Slay. But there seems to be this weird push for that to actually happen. let the kid live, man. He don't gotta move him to play. Like, yeah. let him just get every little nugget off of him. I feel but like I, the I media is like pushing it. That to happen. Like, no, let's get them to be roommates. Let's, right. let's have him raise Slay's kids.
This man got a family and everything. You want to move yeah. another grown man?
Right. Can I get some banana pudding while I'm here? Yeah. You know, but the funny thing is that when we interviewed Quinyon, I said. I was telling Tim, I was like, yo, the way he talks even reminds me of Slay. I was like, the way he was joking, like that nugget that I heard where he, you know, you see people in the comments like, we're already putting a lot of pressure on this kid. Do you think being a Toledo kid at the Senior Bowl where every rep is filmed, everybody is waiting for every single rep, this MFer is calling out players, you know, like not even by their name, like you said, and mm-hmm. he was putting the pressure on himself. Then it's pick sixes. He's running routes for people. Like I don't like the people that didn't watch any tape on him, didn't do any research. Like those kind of little nuggets that you pick up, especially we're hearing more and more after the draft process. It's funny to see. You know, I just think I love his mental makeup, man. I just love it.
Yeah, most definitely. You know what's crazy? It was. You know, me and Gail were down there in the Senior Bowl watching him. And from what Nick said was, you know, you see that juice, you see that burst, you see that flash of the talent that he has. He displayed everything. He and the whole press, man, y'all can just throw that away. Throw it away. I mean, he was like white on rice on Roman Wilson. Roman Wilson got the better of the rep, but he was right there. You know what I'm saying? Like he was putting, like he was, blue. Yeah, like, you know, on top of the route, he was right there. He was step mm-hmm. for step, foot for foot with these wide receivers, top wide receivers.
Hmm. So, I mean, what'd you guys think of his presser? Did you, Brian, what'd you think?
Yeah. I mean, he was calm, cool, collective. I mean, he pretty much had the right answers for all the questions that were being asked to him. And, you know, like I said, you could hear in a very mellow tone, the beast in him, like, you know what I mean, the confidence in him, and it was good to hear. That's just the crazy part. Like, it's, I don't know, man. I'm scared because there isn't anything bad to say about this kid. Like, ever since you put me onto him, like, I just can't find anything. I've been looking and trying, and it's just like, I want to be that Leonardo DiCaprio meme, like, oh, there it is.
Yeah.
And right. I can't get it, you know right. what I mean?
One takeaway I definitely had, you know, not anything in his mentality or anything like that, but if I was a Quinyon Mitchell fan that was looking to get a Quinyon Mitchell jersey, I'd hold out for a couple months. I'm just going to be honest with you. Because after that after that meeting, after that press conference, they asked him about the number 30, and I'm sitting there, just his answer, he was like, that's kind of what they gave me. I was like, that's not speaking to a man that wanted to be number 30. So, yeah. You know, after training camp cuts and all that happens, you never know who ends up getting axed.
I think he'll
be in a different number by the time the new season goes around.
27 is his, bro.
Yeah.
Like, we got to.
Yeah, like, we don't want to. Oh,
sorry, go ahead.
No, I was like, we don't want to. I mean, we already had a Brian Mitchell in number 30.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I forgot about that one.
Yeah,
that's a good one.
Because he said, they said, is that how you like your new number? He's like, you know, they gave it to me. He's
yeah, like, I was yeah. like, I'll make that's, it not, that's not a man that's excited to be number 30.
No. This is one thing I did say that I love about what Quinyon Mitchell said. He wants to be coached. And when I mean he wants to be coached, he said that, I think when somebody was asking, well, what do you think about the Vic Fangio scheme? And he said, well, it's basically what we ran it back into Toledo. And then when he basically came down to was, I love how the coaches correct me and get me right. That's somebody that wants to be a sponge, wants to learn, wants to be a great football player. Forget about the rest of the BS. He got his stuff. He got his stuff from was it? Because he's in Toledo's in Ohio, right? Mm-hmm. Which is like about 6-7 hour drive, yeah. And. You know what I mean? Got a U-Haul and just bounced his way, and he was ready for camp. Love that. That's a dog mentality, baby.
And more power to him, because that's like the most boring ride in America. It is a drive all the way across Pennsylvania.
I do that ride.
Sucks.
Oh, Primo.
No, I was just saying, the key thing about it is just remember, like, he's always emphasized how dedicated he is to whoever he gets started with. So, you know, once he starts this system with Vic Fangio and with the Eagles just in general, you know, the dedication is there. He's going to be dedicated to learning. He's going to be dedicated to being that better player. The dedication part is just the key word of everything that's getting thrown at him. And I love it. You know what I mean? Just the fact that, like, I'm just so impressed. Like, really, like, the guy, the kid had me like synced in when he mentioned his dedication to that team. He could have went anywhere. You know what I mean? Alabama, even like when Saban came out and said that he was on that pick list, you know what I mean? When, if he had gotten a transfer portal, like, just knowing that he stuck with Toledo because that's who he's, that's the dedication that I love to know about. And, you know what I mean? The fact that, you know, here he is, he's going to be dedicated to everything that's coming his way. I love it, man.
So the thing that Sirianni talked about with these rookies and this whole rookie camp is basically about embracing the culture. So, you know, Quinyon was talking about him and Cooper DeJean, a.k.a. Cooper DeJean, going to a Sixers game, embracing the culture, like watching the Sixers lose and ripping your heart out, just putting salt on it. That's part of the culture. And I think as they grow with this city, they're going to see lots of things about the Philly culture and get used to it. I was thinking, I was like, I could just imagine. I'm already hearing it in my head, hearing the word Coop. Like, you know, the crowd is going to, when he makes a big play, they're going, Coop, that's going to be a thing.
That's definitely going to be a thing. And I mean, you bring them up going to that game together. After watching that highlight clip, I'd be willing to say that he would have scored more points than Tobias in that game. Throwing that one out there, all he had to do was make one basket. Cooper DeJean is an exciting prospect. And I think that one of the best things that came of this draft is there was a lot of people that were in the Quinyon camp. There was a lot of people that were in the Cooper DeJean camp. And it's just like Howie Roseman said a few years ago. It was like, do you like pepperoni pizza or do you like sausage? You get both your options here. you got your pepperoni and your sausage. I'm excited to see it happen. And he looks like an absolute athlete, man. We brought up him playing basketball. Dude can jump out of the gym, and he can hit people. He's got great hands, you know, plays many different positions on the field, whether it be offense, defense, special teams. He's had reps on all three. He's going to be a fun prospect to watch as a utility knife type player.
You know, Cooper already has a deal with Head and Shoulders. I just saw on IG he was brushing his eyebrows and putting face. And
oh, you wow!
I was like, all right, Coop, you got yourself. You know, you got that pre-draft. You got to deal with. But I think his pressure was interesting just to see him. Just being, he said, it's been a long time. It's been a long time since I got to, you know, got a chance to play. Mm-hmm. You know, talking about him breaking his leg and then the pre-draft process not being able to work out, and then finally at least getting to run at his pro day. But just you know, I just feel like he's in a good space. You know, pre-draft people were asking me, what quarterbacks do you like that work in the Fangio scheme? You know, it was Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean, and the fact that, you know, both running a lot of zone. They ran a lot of cover three at Iowa. I think he's in a perfect scenario where, I mean, and he's also an athlete. Like, when I liked him more as inside, like, you know, whether he's playing just like a star type role, linebacker, slot, safety, and you can utilize other people on the outside. But I think the Eagles might try and work him outside first, but he's been lined up all over. They asked him where he played this past coming weekend. He said they lined me up everywhere. So that's, to me, you utilize the skill set. I think he's got the size you like too. He's 6'2", 202. That's a big size corner. Mm-hmm. But Pete asked you guys. He said, "What do you think? Y'all think they do with Coop Jean outside corner, safety, or nickel for 2022 to 2024?" I say all of it.
He plays nickel. Mm-hmm. I think he plays nickel more. And then he's cross training for every position, because whenever your number is called, you gotta stay ready. That's what I think he's all about. What I did realize about Cooper DeJean is basically is he seems happy to be on the field doing 7-on-7 drills, just 7-on-7 practice and just drills. You know what I mean? Like you said, he just broke his leg. It was his time for rehab and then draft process. So it's not like, you're always on the table, trying to heal up and stuff like that and doing a little nicks and nacks and trying to heal up. So it just seems like he's really excited. I think he was really excited to see that video when they traded up for him. And then
that was you don't get an opportunity to see that kind of back.
Nah.
That was a really cool video that the Super Eagles cool. put out of that whole process.
How it's like, somebody watch that phone over there.
I also love like just seeing the and they've obviously worked together for decades now, but just seeing the trust in Jeffrey Lurie to run Howie Roseman's team, where he's just sitting there like Howie's son almost, where he's like, oh, what about Carolina? Okay,
but
already did your due diligence. Okay,
but Jeffrey even put his little 2 cents in, and he responded back. He said, "Well, we can wait right now." I was like, "Okay, they have that." It's like they have that relationship, and then Nick's like, "Hey, I'm just here."
Yeah, Nick's just there for the vibes on draft day. Yeah. To be honest with you.
We talk to the players, Nick. Let's see. Coming open, I believe Green says, "What up, fellas? Everybody see Mitchell squatting 500 like it was nothing? I missed that."
I caught that. He's another weight room beast. I think it's kind of hard to that kind of news gets lost in the shuffle when you got guys like Jalen Hurts and Saquon Barkley and now Quinyon Mitchell. Everybody's over here, squatting a ton.
Hey, can we all give flowers to Jalen for looking like a proud father with Saquon?
Look at this boy. Look, you see how low he got?
How he's standing in the background? Yeah.
He's like,
well, we're talking 1,200 pounds of tush push between two people, man.
Tush push is gonna be all cracked.
It was funny to look because he had the Jordan like mustache, and he got the Jordan earring. He got his hands on his hips. He's like, that's my running back.
Now with Cooper's number here, 33. Actually, before he even got the number, I was saying to you guys in the chat, I was saying, hey, I was like, if they don't have three, because Nolan Smith's not giving that number up.
No.
I was like, you double it up, you go into the pros, 33 would be kind of cool. The year this also primes number. Also the year of the Eagles, 1933.
Sure.
There's a lot of history there. Can we, Devon says 23 is available.
No, Eli Ricks got it.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Sorry, Prime, your numbers took it, man.
I don't mind 33. I think that's a pretty good number, honestly.
It's not bad, no. Prime.
I belong to Prime.
The number alliteration, I'm fine with it.
I'm good with it, man. They gave it to a decent player. I mean, I've been waiting for this number to be put on somebody's jersey for the longest, but that's going to, signify it. Like, that's really going to go ahead and have a meaning behind it. Mm-hmm. Hey, this kid stepping into a jersey with my favorite number in there. So my expectations of him is going to be, up here. And I think he's finally going to probably be the one that's going to go ahead and fulfill that. So I'm excited to see this, that number on the jersey on the field.
It is making me this whole number conversation, though, is making me realize that the Eagles potentially do retire too many jersey numbers. Or maybe they go back into the history vault and unretire some numbers.
You guys haven't heard of it.
But what number would you retire?
So 9, 12, 20, no.
No, you can't retire 20.
Yeah, I'm saying. So, all right, so 9, 20, 25.
9 is retired? Foles?
15.
Is retired.
I'm retired.
Well, nobody's allowed to have 9. Nobody's allowed to have 9.
I think they got to open it up.
You can bring 5 back.
Oh, that's disrespectful. Whoa,
whoa. If you're retired,
you, man.
That's disrespectful.
Yeah,
I will always love you.
But shout out to Jordan. We will always love you. Happy birthday. He just celebrated his birthday. Shout out to Jordan.
Happy birthday, man.
But as we go along, again, I think if we're on jersey changes, I think we have I'll be okay with the Gene at 33. DeJohn, but Quinyon Mitchell got to change.
Quinyon Mitchell got to change.
Moving right along. I mean, we talked about it earlier already. Jalen Hurts, his pressure was to me was the most
entertaining.
I just love the vibe. I just like his self-awareness. He said, I didn't really get a lot of this at Cornell. I was like, I might have done a couple reports at Houston Christian. But the rawness of him just being like, first of all, saying, Howie Big Pimpin'. Mm-hmm. And so one of the reporters is that how you really, you know, is that how you dress people? He's like, not in a business type setting, but I call people Big Pimpin', Playa, you know, Big Bro, you know, Big Guy. But I think just thinking from just him being transparent from a small school, we just talked about like the differences of resources, like all the stuff that, you know, these bigger schools had, what he didn't have, talking about the Eagles and what kind of resources they have. He's like, it takes all the legwork out for him. He's like, the kind of stuff I was doing on my own. He's like, because this is what I thought what NFL pros do, or this is what I should be studying. The fact that he's with Fangio, one of the best defensive coaches in the league, and the players that he gets to learn from, the Brandon Grahams of the world, I think he's in a good incubator system. Obviously, he's a raw prospect, but when you go back and look at some of his tape and you see how, you know, safety, wide receiver background, him in coverage, picking off some of these passes, which he's done on some of his tape. Could he, in the long wingspan, could he be a secret weapon? I don't know.
I found his interview. You bring up how him being from a small school, like, he was very open and honest. And I mean, that was one of the big takeaways for me. I mean, I look at how he speaks, and when I was listening to Jalix Hunt more than anybody else that was interviewed, it was really like, I didn't feel like he was trying to tell me, like, he wasn't trying to say the right things. He was just openly speaking and speaking his mind and answering the questions transparently. And I as a fan, just really appreciated that type of talk where it wasn't just coach speak. It wasn't just, he just was laying it out exactly how he was experiencing it. But I did find that whole part about how he quickly ascended in weight to be kind of interesting. And the only, I don't think I would have given it more thought unless we already had Jordan Davis on the team, who was Mr. Gummy Bear himself. I'm just thinking, do you think that there's going to be, he quickly went from safety all the way down to edge rusher. He just continued to add on weight. I'm not saying that there is any worry of it, but I would be lying if I said it didn't cross my mind of, you know, just make sure that the weight doesn't continue to go up.
Okay,
Jordan Davis. Mr. Medicals, bro. That's what I'm going to be on top of.
So Davis pretty much put that fear in you just because of the way he blew up, huh?
I'm just saying, slow up there.
Todd chiming in. Cooper DeGene is the Larry Bird of DBs.
Larry Bird of DBs. Oh, you wildin'.
Yeah, I see. So,
but the talk. I'm going to get to my points with Jalix. Yes, former safety that played outside linebacker with physical ability and can play in coverage. That is something that's really super, super unique. And I believe that Jalix is going to be the next Andrew Van Ginkle in this defense because he's at the same management. He's 6'4", 248 pounds. And also what I liked about his press conference is what he said was he needs to improve with his technique so he can play, consecutively at a high level. He's so intriguing to me, man, because just to see the growth in this kid and the way his body is and it's the way from safety, wide receiver, this dude he can be the jack of all trades.
You got to admire stuff like that. When he comes out and he mentions things that he needs to work on, that's key, man. You know what I mean? It's like they always say, rule number one, you know what I mean? Admitting that you need to fix something or you need to work on something. And there it is right there. Like, as soon as he mentioned that part, it was just like, okay, that's what I'm talking about. You know what I mean? At least you know with the mentality going in there, you want to learn, you want to get better at this. That's what's up. Evan mentioned earlier about just him keeping, you know, pretty much real on every which way possible, how he was answering the questions and pretty much giving feedback about everything. That's another thing that was, like, impressive. Like, I agree. You know, I'm not getting coached, not being told what to say here and there. He was just him being him. And that's what I want. Be you. I mean, come into this, come into this league being you, you know what I mean? The good you, the right you, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Not just any you, but right. And then the fact that, like, I look at this number, man, I think that thing fits in perfectly because I don't know. I don't know if we're going to have the privilege to join Trent Cole's camp this year again. But look, Hunt, 58, the man's 100. You know, I think it all matches. I think it, you know what I mean? It fits perfectly. So, yeah, I like it.
Mm. Now, this is a shout out to Jim Nagy again. This is Jim Nagy. This is the guy who runs the Senior Bowl. This is his he self-scouted Hunt. And obviously, he's the one who chose to bring Hunt to the Senior Bowl for said reason. He called him a late-blooming former Ivy League DB. He said it was top 2024 Senior Bowl riser. Teams had a fifth to sixth round grades off his fall tape. They said violent edge set reps, opened eyes and mobile. Can't coach his natural pass rush coordination. He said he should be an immediate presence on special teams.
And I'm really interested to see how all of this is going to play out with the new kickoff or rules. If the personnel is going to be different than how it would be in the days of old, considering everybody's lining up in a completely different position, you don't got to run the full stretch of the field. So, I mean, for a guy like that 6'4", 248, for him to not have to waste that energy running down the field and he could just already be down there, it'd be pretty interesting.
I'm looking forward to it because I think you're going to get a whole lot more hits this year and some vicious ones at that. Yeah.
Now, cut me open. I believe Green says anybody wishing we had drafted Keon Coleman after seeing his interviews.
He is money.
He's going to get some endorsements. I think he should have those lined up. One with Macy's, the one he was talking about, the bubble goose,
the guest jacket, huh? That was hilarious. Tiger Woods, he could. That was hilarious.
I mean, Devon asked a question about Wilson playing tight end. You know,
they seem to be.
We'll get to that, but yeah. that they're gonna shoot that down. Or, I didn't think he was a tight end either. After the Senior Bowl, I was like, I don't think he's gonna be a tight end. I actually am down at Senior Bowl. You get to meet some good people out there. Shout out to Dominic. I asked him about. I said, hey, you cover the Florida State. Florida State Seminoles. I said, give me your breakdown on Johnny Wilson. Might as well bring up his brand. I mean, bring up his name while we're talking about him. Johnny Wilson, 6'6", 231. He said, big red zone. He can play all on the outside as well. Good route runner. Some inconsistency catching, but coachable. Huge catch radius. When he got drafted, was thinking possible. Learning from AJ in that offense, or you use him. AJ and Devontae and be able to move them all around the field.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was going to say you some of the people he like kind of talked about when he first got interviewed, just talking about Harold Carmichael, Alshon Jeffrey, you know, those bigger bodied guys that he's trying to kind of model this game after. And one of the things that I really liked about what he had said, he was talking about how there was a question where someone had asked him like, how smaller DBs would try and defend him and what they would do and what kind of techniques would be effective against him. And his response was just if he drops the ball. So he's kind of just saying he's got the height and, you know, the stretch to be able to get above everybody else. And if you can get the ball in his hands, it'd really be all on him whether or not he comes down with it.
Mm. I mean, I don't like the number. It's a tight end number. That's the only thing I don't like.
To see that used to be what's his face? That used to be Greg Ward's number, right?
Yeah.
I was gonna say. Greg I'm just Ward? Saying to see from going from.
No, Greg Ward was 84. He was 84.
Oh yeah, you're right.
Steve Smith, 89.
Yeah, I know.
Steve Smith was like the only person I remember being.
Chad
like
Lewis.
That.
Chad Lewis was 89.
Yeah. Okay.
Mark Bavaro. Oldie McGiddy, for the Giants. Oh, also in the Eagles. But this is what the scouting report from Jim Nagy from the Senior Bowl that he put out today. He said, one of the most unique physical specimens and mismatched skill players in the 2024 draft. He said he agrees with the Eagle brass. This is not, all caps, not a tight end. Should be an immediate factor in the red zone area where he was underutilized at FSU. Surprise, he slid this far.
This is I mean, when you think about having a tool like Johnny Wilson in your toolbox at FSU, why would you not use him in the red zone? Like, that to me is kind of, I'm sitting here looking at that almost as a red flag where I'm like, you had a 6'6", 230 wide receiver. Why wouldn't you utilize him in that position? What is he not doing to get the ball? So,
I mean, they did lose their quarterback, and I think, you know, it did, the offense took a hit. But I think, you know, Keon Coleman was a dog out there too. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, I think he's got an opportunity. I think if we're talking about a role, I think he's got a role down by the goal line. If they have some kind of, like, we saw them utilize
Julio
in the slot, big slot. You tell me he can't run those routes.
Right. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. That's not that. But will he come down with the ball? Because they talk about, like we talked about when he got drafted, the drops were kind of alarming. And, you know, that was someone had even commented that earlier, just about he wasn't strong at the catch point.
But a lot of his drops were like quick slants. It was just a lack of focus, you know, turning your head and getting up. You know what I mean? He's running without the ball. I think sometimes he needs to play a little bit bigger than what he is. But I definitely see him as definitely a contributor. It's just going to be weird to see how many wide receivers they're going to keep this year. It's going to be interesting. So
we'll you know, we're good at one and two, and the whole thing with all these wide receivers is finding that number three.
Right.
So yeah,
that bit us in the ass last year. Like, we went into last year thinking like, okay, we got one and two covered, but like, let's hope that Quez can finally step up and be that wide receiver three. And that was something that was missing last year that we could have utilized. Mm. So I would love to have that locked down heading into the season.
Mark from Oregon's excited. He says, let's go. Xavier says, leave Wilson at wide receiver. Mike Evans has done just fine. Wilson can gain 10 to 15 pounds and be a real wide receiver number two. I mean, his feet for that size is what you like. I think having Harold Carmichael, I believe Harold Carmichael was at his pro day as well. Just having that kind of guy with that size to be a Hall of Famer, to give you some nuggets, that's a cool thing.
Yeah, that support plays big.
Adrian asked a question. He said, you guys surprised at all? We didn't draft more depth on the D-line. We got Jordan, Jalen, Milton Williams. And then after that, I mean, also Tua Pelotu also had a role.
Ajomo.
Young
and let's not count out Hall. Let's not count out Hall from Baylor. Is it Baylor, right?
Yeah.
U of DA. Don't count. He should have been drafted. I don't know why he wasn't drafted, but that kid's got some potential. Mm-hmm. He's definitely going to make this squad.
Yeah.
Gabriel?
I think. Yeah, I agree with Pete. I think that Ajomo's year getting cut short last year. I mean, we were hearing a lot of good things that was coming out of practices. You know, he was getting good reps in. I'm hoping that he can bounce back from an injury and it's not something that, you know, continues to linger. But as far as depth on the interior of the defensive line, like I'm excited to with Cox not being here, like he is going to be missed both on the field and in the locker room sense, but to get more snaps for young guys like Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis and Milton Williams, that's exactly what I want. So
this is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify?
Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Yeah, I mean, it's always cool to hear the prospects talk about them being drafted. He said he was at an Airbnb when he heard his name called. Didn't even get a chance to, like, you know, move in for the weekend or whatever. He got his name called, and he's geeked. He's geeked to be here. So moving right along, I think runner up on the prospect train, I think Will Shipley, he comes across as a super aware. I think he's got the captain vibes. I think his juice as a leader, I think, is pretty cool. I think hearing him, that the fact that his brother's already in Philadelphia, he said he's been to Philly numerous times to come visit his brother. His brother plays at UPenn. He's actually in a lacrosse championship this weekend. Mm-hmm. But Will Shipley, also a lacrosse star as well. But he was – the thing is, five-star recruit. Like, don't let the – you know, don't let the IBM shoot fool you. Like, this dude – yeah, and then my thing is, like, yo, like, you know, working in entertainment, I've had different jobs. Like, I was working with a casting, and you try to find these roles, and like, you, part of the casting department is to find roles for these said actors or what. So with these prospects, you're really trying to find a role on the Eagles team. How do they, you know, you listen to every word they say. Do they actually fit this role? Do they actually perform the role? And I think the whole thing with Kenny Gainwell, I think Kenny Gainwell is coming down to his very end of his contract. You're bringing another guy to compete who mm-hmm. can, you know, catch the ball out of the backfield, line up all over the field. I think Will Shipley has an opportunity to compete. And I think Gainwell, you know, he has that role. He's got a third down role. Special teams ability, catching out of the backfield, line up in space. I think Will Shipley, he put his foot in the ground. I think the fumbles is something that, you know, he can work on.
Yeah, and I think that, like, him coming in here without the pressure of, like, it's obvious. No matter how well you do in training camp, no matter how well you do in the preseason, I mean, you're going to be behind Saquon Barkley to start the season. So he doesn't have that pressure to really deal with, and he can kind of ease his way into the league. But I am personally, I don't know about you guys, I don't know if you feel the same way, but I feel like ever since Darren Sproles, the Eagles front office has been chasing that little the clone of Sproles, the tiny guy. And I'm glad that we're finally turning the page, go get a big body back. And like a 5'11", 210 in a running back is exactly what I have been really dying for on this team, rather than just like a small, shifty little player. Darren Sproles was one in a million, man. The Darren Sproles don't just fall off of trees. Like, he was a hell of a player. So I'm excited to see that. But I do, before we move on from Will Shipley, I mean, Gail, you were big on Dylan Lobby and Isaac Arendo. So what were your thoughts on taking Will Shipley with those guys still on the board?
I knew Dylan was going to go later. Like, my thing was like sixth round, like last opportunity. I mean, again, with backs that have that skill out of the backfield, he ended up going to the Raiders. But I think Isaac Arendo could have been an interesting option. Again, Ray Davis, Had a lot of miles on him, but I think Ray Davis really did flash the Senior Bowl. Also Temple tough and Wildcat tough. But I thought, you know, he was a smaller back as well. I think Will Shipley, if they see something in his game, like specifically that they like, it was interesting in his presser. He talked about his relationship with Christian McCaffrey. He said he texted him when he got drafted. He said, "I get to pick his brain." He said he's been a role model to him on and off the field. Mm-hmm. He's like, "I tried him out of my game after McCaffrey." But, you know, just it's cool to see some of these guys that have that opportunity to get mentored by other guys in the league. So I think Will Shipley does he have a lot of pressure on him? Did you see Jason Kelce talk about white skill positions?
Players? Oh man, that was hilarious. I'll be rooting for you.
I was like, damn, Kelce would say. That's the other. I mean, Ivan brings this other. I mean, you talk about a guy who coming. We're talking about real adversity. The fact that he overcame a brain tumor.
Yeah,
that's crazy. That's crazy. I think speaks to his character. Speaks to, you know. I think he's got a great opportunity. Him talking about being in the running back room with everyone. He's excited. How geek would you be if you were in a room with Saquon? Like,
oh, most definitely.
Yeah, you got one of the best in the league to learn from. I mean. It's only going to help you.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, you good.
Oh, what I did realize, though, about Will is he said something that was really, really, really interesting. They asked him, hey, what do you think you're going to get brought up on speed with the playbook? And he basically said, I think it was Dave Spiro asked him, is he a quick learner? What type of learner he is. And he's basically said, I'm a quick learner. I'll pick it up. There, he said, basically, I'm no stranger to this. I've had three offensive coordinators the 3 years when I was in Clemson. And to be a running back and to pick up a blitz, know where to go, A, B, backside, front side, that is very, very, like, that's cool as hell to somebody that had a brain tumor. And to like put this whole thing together and be a good college player. So that was one thing that I was like, okay, that stood out to me. So what that means, he's a sponge, man. He's going to be here to play. You know what I'm saying? And Kenny Gainwell is not going to give up his spot. I mean, hopefully y'all checked out that his podcast with the other, I'm not going to say no names, that's the podcast, but I hope y'all can check that out. Whatever. I think I put it in the chat, but
yeah. I was definitely going to touch on that, but
my
Shipley, 2021, he had, as a freshman, 16 receptions, 116 yards, average yards per catch of 7.3. 2022, 38 receptions, 242 yards, 6.4 average. 2023, he had 31 receptions, 244 yards, 7.9. Catch, and then he had two touchdowns. I think the one thing that if you go look at Shipley's ability on special teams, his last bowl game, he broke off two kick returns. He ended up getting hurt in the bowl game. But so I think, right. Again, guy with special teams ability, third down roll, special teams. I think,
I see that's where it's going to pretty much start for him. You give him that role in the special teams, see how much he picks up on that and how much he could be utilized. I think that's where he will probably shine the most and then get the most, what's the word I'm looking for? Like the most attention to go ahead and bring him up to that next level. I mean, like, yo, I know you said Gainwell is not going to give up that spot easily. But, yeah. You know, Gainwell better watch out because it ain't going to be easy for him as well.
You better learn Canadian, buddy.
I like the competition, though. I like the competition.
I'm all for it too. You know, I mean, come on. We for the longest that we've been doing this together on the podcast, this is what we love. We love the competition. Everybody bringing the best out of each other. So every year, you always look forward to that one person that's going to come in with that mentality, like, "Yo, I'm coming for your job." Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I'm coming for your job. So you always wait to hear that, and yo, silently. But and calmly, these guys have been each saying they coming for somebody's job. I love it for sure.
And as it should be. What I love about this draft class is the versatility. Mm-hmm. Everybody is a tool. Anybody, like just like how Gail said, basically, you know, you got to find a role. You can put these pieces in places where you're like, hey, let's put a gym here. Let's put a gym there. Mm-hmm. And let's unlock the code and let's go. That's what I'm loving about this draft. And, you know, the rest can say less, but.
I'm just saying with all these kids in the positions that we picked up, we got ourselves a healthy special teams right now. Mm-hmm. Just saying.
I'll tell you what else. You beat me to it. I was going to say that Britton Covey, all these guys that have, you know, return specialists in their repertoire. I mean, they're bringing other things to the table other than just returning kicks. They're bringing offensive snaps, defensive snaps. I don't know, man. I'd improve my game as good as I better see, you know, multiple returns for touchdowns on a
Covey if he wants the job. Hey, Ev, since you brought it up, Anaya Smith, I was talking about a wide receiver / running back, all purpose yards. You know, he's got 190 pound player. You know, talk about the yak ability, talk about the, How awkward was it to watch Quez catch screens and take end arounds like Anaya Smith, running back ability. You know, you could move him around in motion. But I think his role, as soon as I saw him, I'm like, this guy is. This is what I said. I've said, even though you know I'm a Covey stan, mm-hmm. I said my wide receiver 5 has got to play special teams. The thing about Nye Smith is he was a 4-core special teamer. Like he was kickoff, kick return, punt return. He's has a gunner ability. Mm-hmm. You don't get this like for a guy who had 2,000 yard all-purpose yards. He also had like 351 special team snaps. Mm-hmm. This is what we talk. We couldn't see Quez on the back end playing special teams effectively on all special teams. Anaya Smith gives you that. And again, at 5'9", 170, I think at 5'9", 190, you know, I think he's got an opportunity to shine here. I like the yak ability. But yeah. I think one thing missed, if you want to go check out his YouTube channel, mm-hmm. very transparent. He just started walking a couple weeks ago, which is like, okay, they found a stress fracture in his leg at the combine the year before, like his senior year. He was on the radar of everyone. Mm-hmm. He ends up, you know, he breaking his leg, his fibula, and his ankle separated. So he had two surgeries there, and then he's now has the stress fracture surgery that he just had. So that's another thing that he's rebounding from. He's doing his rehab on camera, so you're getting to see him go through it as he's uploading as we speak. Like, so it's interesting to see his process. They showed him on the 30 visit mm-hmm. With Philadelphia. He bumped into Xavier Leggett in the gym at one point, but I think he's an interesting prospect.
He is, and I'm excited for Anaya Smith. You bring up all the things he's going to be able to do on special teams. I think too, in the offensive side of the ball, he has the potential to be used very creatively in the offense, whether it be end arounds, whether it be, you know, creating a play that is designed to allow him to get yak. I think that would be the way to use him. But I'm also at the same time trying to kind of temper expectations because I'm viewing this draft wide receiver wise very similar to the year that we took Quez and John Hightower. where there was two, you know, late round wide receivers that we were kind of taking a flyer on. And in hindsight, you know, we looked at Quez coming in from the draft and like, look at the speed, both him and John Hightower. Great speed. And we're looking at all of their measurables. But then, you know, years later, we see how those two guys had panned out. So now we are at step one of this again with two late round wide receivers. And we're really just hoping that one of them can pan out. If one of them pans out, it's a great situation. But like I said earlier, this wide receiver three, it needs to be addressed because we can't have the same type of wide receiver three production that we did last year if we want to really compete.
Talk about wide receiver three. What other player with the same last name wore Anias's number?
Torrey Smith.
Oh. Bang. Is it a sign?
It's a sign. I like it. I like it.
His father was a 10-year played in the CFL. His brother also played played in the league for 3 years, and is now in I think the XFL. But I think he's got the genes, man. I like this pick. I think he's also kind of check out his YouTube channel. It's he likes to talk, likes to have a good time. He's definitely interesting. Lena says she's getting ready. I like that. Moving right along. I think we were talking about people gunning for people's spots. We have this guy. I don't know. You might know him. Everyone's been talking about him all off season. Jeremiah Trotter Jr. gunning for his dad's number. 54. I think it's a great story. I think if you like linebackers, you like special teams, you like undersized guys you can root for. If you're in a Kobe Dean stand, well, you can root for another undersized linebacker in Jeremiah Trotter. Great story, man. Great story. I mean, Prime, I know you're a linebacker guy.
I'm really rooting for this kid, you know, because we ended up drafting him. He's been talked about a lot. I'm a big fan of his father's. Hey, listen, man, it's real simple. If you got the same genes as Pops, you good to go. You good in my books, man. You know, your dad was a beast. The mentality in that man was just always fun to watch. The Axeman was just something you always love to tune into every Sunday. And listen, man, that's some serious shoes you got to fill in. But, you know, I know your dad wants the best for you, and you know, he wants you to be better than him because every father always wants their son to be better than them. So I know that's the mentality of his coming in. You know, I like you said, yeah, I'm a big linebacker fan. So, yeah, it's him, the Kobe. Like, I'm all for the linebacker crew, and I think this kid is going to be a key addition. You know, regardless however he starts, it's just how he finishes and – what he learns from all this, because he's got some good people in front of him that he can learn off of, along with his dad. You know, I mean, his dad's going to be in his ear every Sunday, letting him know, work on this, fix this, do that. So yeah, I think he's in good hands. So, you know, the future's definitely looking bright for this kid.
I just want to talk on the whole, him being undersized thing. Personally, I'm thinking it's a little bit blown out of the water, if I'm being completely honest with you. I will say, you know, friend of the show, our guy in the comment section, Loki Cuzzy, he was talking about it. He had a little video he put together. If you want to go check out his channel on Swoop Boys, he compared it to many linebackers across the league, a lot of top flight linebackers. And he was, you know, in same height, 5 pounds lighter. He was right in the same ballpark as a lot of these guys that we view as top flight linebackers in the league. And for him to be able to put on a couple pounds, I don't think would be a big deal. Is there other aspects of his game that I worry about? Do I think he's not completely polished on? Yeah. I think in coverage, you know, he could use a little bit of work, but I'm kind of viewing him as, I think that there was a big hype for Jeremiah Trotter last year as he was coming onto the scene, and the idea of him entering this draft, there was a lot of people that were hyped for him, and then it kind of tapered off a little bit. And I think that people ran with the, oh, maybe we're just feeling nostalgic about Jeremiah Trotter. I think that needle went too far in the wrong direction. I think he's going to be a pretty decent linebacker in this league, completely honest.
And it is possible. My bad. I didn't mean to cut off whoever's going to take that. But it is possible because, I mean, like, this statement right here, Ray Lewis was definitely undersized. Being a big Miami Hurricane fan, watching Ray Lewis play his game coming into the league, I thought the same thing. Like, yo, he got blessed to be picked. And, you know, he's going to be an animal when he really puts his resume together. And that's the same thing I'm going to say about this kid. It's all about how much he puts into his resume. He builds that resume up. He could be a Ray Lewis. It's possible. Ray Lewis, proof in the pudding, man, coming into the league the size that he did. And look, left the league as a champion, Hall of Famer. It's possible, bro.
I mean, you talk about pressure, putting pressure. People are calling him Ray Lewis is Ray Lewis.
I'm just saying it's possible. I'm not saying he's Ray Lewis. I'm just saying it's possible. That's all.
Does he have moves like Ray Lewis?
Well, yeah. There's only one way to find out, bro. There's only one way to find out.
So, I mean, I liked his pressure. I just felt like I from a Frugal Gang perspective, Evan, you would be so proud of him. He said he's
so proud.
He's going to save
money.
Live at home. Stay with dad. Mm. Frugal Gang.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he lives 30 minutes away. Why would he do anything else? Save money. I mean, what, you're going to pay rent with your million-dollar contract?
Frugal Gang. As soon as he said that, I was like, man, Evan's got it. He's got to get, you know, it's through the roof right now.
The story of it obviously is something that you can't not love as an Eagles fan. And I think it's really cool that, you know, the way everything shook out, that he's able to wear the same number as his dad. I mean, I can't wait to see all the people at Lincoln Financial Field. I'm sure this year that their dads are going to be out there rocking the 5'4 senior. Oh. And then they got their kids in the 5'4 junior. It's going to be great.
Prime, you got a Trotter jersey?
Do I have a Trotter jersey? I might. It might be in the bin. I might.
I mean, yeah, I know you got one.
Yeah. I think I do have a Trotter jersey. Yeah, I think it's kind of like similar to the Sims.
I get a little lucky.
Oh, for sure. You know what I mean? Hey, listen, man. Yeah,
it's a lucky junior.
It's a lucky senior, lucky junior.
Jeremiah Trotter Jr. I mean, that's why I started with you. Tony says, any news on the schedule? At least I haven't, you know.
May 9th.
I can tell you one thing. You know, the Eagles are playing the Cowboys twice. Giants twice.
You sound like that one guy that posted that. Like, yo, somebody posted that today. Like, yo, I got the leak. The Eagles are playing the Cowboys, Redskins, and the Giants twice. And I'm like, man, if you don't stop your shit.
That's funny.
Man, I think talking about schedule, I mean, you did bring up the schedule. We might be going to this country called Brazil. Shout out to you. Philly Sports Trips. Shout out to them. They will be doing this trip. It's going to be first couple of days in Rio. The last couple of days will be in Sao Paulo where the game will be. You know, do your research. Lots of things to do in Brazil. Rio, beaches. This body is not ready for a beach. I might
let alone a Rio beach.
Like a beach, overweight, washed up athlete. It's all good. Torn ACL, meniscus, you know, whatever you want. But I'm still going to be sipping on some Caprinas. But shout out to Philly Sports Trips. If you want to go book a trip, go to phillysportstrips.com. If you see Vince on socials, tell him you want to go on this trip. Mm. Hey, it's going to be first time you get to see Saquon. It's the first time you get to see A.J. Brown with a new contract.
Quinyon Mitchell, maybe.
Quinyon Mitchell?
What's his name? I was about to say. Yeah. I thought you were going to say Quinyon.
First time you're going to get to see the rookie class. Cooper. He said A.J. Brown with a new contract. Yeah, he's going to have it. It's going to be stapled to his jersey.
Kellen Moore's offense, you know.
Let's see. Tony says, never heard of it. Tony's a traveler, man. He knows. He knows all about South America. Ask him. He'll tell you. But moving right along, another, I'm, you know, I know Tim asked me to put – I found a better picture just to represent Keegan. This dude looks straight out of WWE. I think he has a contract lined up.
The Undertaker.
I think he understood his role and ran with it. But in general, Keegan, to me, as a captain of a national championship team, I think Trevor Keegan – being the captain of that said team, there's a saying in Michigan: those who stay will be champions. And he's one of those players who bought in and stayed, and he became a champion. So I feel like, just off the rip, his presser. I'm sitting here just trying to figure out who the player is, understand the words he chooses and the words that he chooses to say. I watch everything, so his demeanor. And the words he uses, the word sponge, he's coming into a he feels like he's being coached by Stoutland, is a perfect opportunity for him to just be a sponge and just like soak it in. Like the fact that he's, you know, with Stoutland, he's already mentioned about the Stoutland, the culture that he's already built. He already feels it. So, I mean, who's geeked on? I mean, I know it's day three pick. Who's geeked on?
No, I'm really excited. It's hard not to get excited for an offensive lineman that, you know, Jeff Stoutland can really mold and put his hands on. I think that Keegan is a guy that, like, you just look at the frame of him. First of all, 6'6", 320. That is much bigger than, like, we had been throwing Cam Jurgens in that role. And we talk about how Cam Jurgens is really only a center and he was playing as an undersized guard. You talk about putting that type of guy who was the captain of what was the best offensive line in college football and national champions. Like, he is a guy that has had success and he is a versatile piece as well. He said that he could play, you know, any three of the interior three offensive line positions. He's even gotten snaps at center, which was surprising to me because I would think that he's too big to play center. But, you know, he's a guy that you could really use as a depth piece. And I think that there is a possibility that he could fight Steen for that right guard position.
Absolutely. I mean, the picture itself is just intimidating. I mean, look at that shit. I couldn't even put that in my kid's bedroom, man, because he wouldn't even be able to go to sleep. Look, man, all I could just say is ever since Mulata, I'm always looking forward to seeing who Stoutland is going to go ahead and deal with. It's going to be exciting because, you know, you saw what he did with Mulata, and it just goes to show that he could do that with any lineman who's willing to learn, who's willing to put in the work. And this kid's already got enough work on him, like, you know what I mean? So just a little bit of addition and a little bit of teaching from Stoutland, I don't think he's too far from it. And, you know, some of the comments in here, yeah, I think Steen definitely needs to watch out because if he doesn't play that position right, it's going to be handed over to this kid.
I mean, we also have Temple Tough. We have
Hennessy
in the building. So again, I think as a developmental piece, I like that he's in the house. I just think he, as a developmental guy, I like the role that he plays, that he'll be playing. I'm not expecting, you know, nothing too much from Keegan. But I think he, overall as a leader, I think it'll be very interesting to see what he becomes. But I think he's got the right demeanor. Nice. He's got the lines on the side of his head. He's just one of those.
You didn't even talk about the best part, though.
He's one of those.
The reason I sent you the picture. The neck roll. He's bringing back the neck roll. That's the reason why I asked you to put that on there. That neck roll is serious. We haven't seen a neck roll since 1993. You know what I'm saying? Like, that was like your pops. That was like your pops, you know, him in his uniform with the neck roll. That was the reason why I asked him to put it on it. But this guy is mean, tough. He's going to put you in, he's going to put your ass in the grass. I love this pick. Zero sacks allowed. But, like, yeah, you should have just put, because the neck roll. Neck roll is crazy.
I'm going to give you, let's see. I think this is what Jim Nagy said about him at the Senior Bowl. Trevor Keegan, he's an old school tough guy. Has Jeff Stoutland type DNA. Team captain for the national champs. played the best ball of his University of Michigan career in the final stretch of the 2024 season. He said all 37 college starts came at left guard, so must develop alternate position flex. I mean, he said it.
But himself. He is ambidextrous.
This is Jim Nagy, who's the executive director of the Senior Bowl. He says, has Jeff Stoutland type DNA?
My question is this, though, fellas. Stoutland was a tackle. He wasn't a guard. And they're trying to replace the guard position due to Juergens moving from guard to center, right? So wouldn't you mean that you want to go with somebody that has more experience at guard than somebody that's going to be transferred from guard to tackle? I mean, tackle to guard?
Yeah, I feel like he's, you know, a lot of people get moved in, you know, inside, you know, after playing left tackle. You know, Skoronski played left tackle.
The reason why it's one of the highest paid positions in the league. I mean, while it's not one of the big sexies, it's a tough position to play, and you're going up against the best edge rushers in the league. So if you can't compete, that's, I feel like a lot of guys, that's when they slide inward.
I mean, if Stoutland is saying something, I'm not going against it. You know, if he sees him at that position, you know, I'll go with what he says.
Bob talking about possibly use him as a trade piece, but to be honest with you, I view him as a depth piece more than a trade piece. I mean,
I still think he's still a question mark. Like, we haven't even got to actually see him, you know. I mean, he's got a couple reps in there, a couple games, but we haven't really got to see much of him. And then again, as a rookie, I'm not expecting anything crazy from him, but the fact that we got, you know, he got some reps, some quality snaps last year, that was good. Again, you know, the whole Mekhi Becton thing is interesting.
Very.
I mean, if you go on YouTube, they have Mekhi Becton. I mean, I have him on my phone. This is the kind of stuff I just look at all day. Like, wow. Reps against Hassan Reddick. Reps against Brandon Graham. Reps against Milton Williams. His mitts. He is throwing these guys around. I was like, I was watching the film. And I was like, I was actually not embarrassed, but I was like, I've never seen this before. What? I said, and I know Mekhi Becton, he was a top rated pick, whatever. Yeah. But yeah. I'm just saying, the way he threw our guys around, and I didn't get to see that footage, I was like, okay. Well,
that's I think from what it sounds like from all the people from the, you know, New York Jets fans, reporters, all that, you know, it wasn't really the talent that was the issue. It was more so just his availability and the injuries that he's went through. So it seems like he has the talent to be a really good tackle in this league, but is his body going to be able to sustain is more so the problem.
We got Cooper DeJean's number one fan. I knew, shout out to Jason, go Birds. Cooper going to look fly in those Eagle colors. Birds of a feather stick together. Iowa Hawkeyes.
Yes, sir.
Did you guys see Jalix Hunt? He had a quote about the Eagle on his social media.
Yeah, I did see that. Talking about how the eyelid, like they got second eyelids or something like that so they could fly in the rain.
Smart.
He knows his Eagles facts, man. Cornell. Ivy League, bro. Come on.
You know?
And like, so someone like that, like I find, and maybe I'm stretching this out here, but like him just being interested in little things like that, like when you put him in the Eagles film room, like, is he going to be that interested in being able to dissect something, not just on the surface level, but really want to find out the inner workings of an offense, of how he can beat an offense, that type of thing.
Yeah. Speaking of figuring out offenses, Dylan McMahon, you know, he's got that some versatility. He's got great hair. He should have got a head and shoulders deal, not Cooper DeJean, but Dylan McMahon. But Keegan was talking about, he looked at Dylan and he's like, dude, can you believe we're here? Another point from Keegan, he said that after practice, he looked out. They were walking around the stadium. He said he saw the lights. He saw the link and the hair stood up on his arm. I was like, that's a word choice. That means he's
Geeked.
This is what I'm talking about. Like, that's kind of, that's the kind of style and DNA shit I like to hear. But he said he was looking at Dylan and asking him, like, can you believe that we're here? Dylan McMahon, he said that he got an opportunity to go, you know, work out. He was in there working out, and then Howie's in there pushing up weights. And then who else was in there? Jason Kelce shows up. The fact that he's like, you know, Jason Kelce's like, he walks up to him. He's like, undersized center. And he gave him some tips, and he was just like, you know, just trying to encourage him. He gave him his phone number.
Wow.
So they asked him in the presser, like, are you gonna call him? He's like, yeah. He's like, he's like, Jason Kelce just gave me his phone number. He's like, I just want to, like,
pick his brain. Yeah.
I mean, imagine if Kelce gives you your number. What's the first conversation like when you pick up the phone?
I mean, am I a center entering the NFL, or am I just a fanalist like I am right now?
You can be yourself.
Can you tell me the secrets of how to run the tush push? Because you're one of the best.
That's a good one.
That is a good question.
My question.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
That's a good one.
I would talk about, I mean, especially with McMahon talking about being an undersized center, just like, well, that's 6'4", 305. How is he really that undersized? Jesus Christ. It's an undersized center, my ass, bro.
I mean,
that throws out everything I was just about to say.
He does have.
I would have asked him what it felt like to be in WrestleMania, honestly.
I mean, I mean, he's going to go into the Hall of Fame too.
Yeah.
I mean, he's also signed with ESPN.
I was about to say, is he about to do Monday Night Football now?
Yeah. Is that like with the Mannings? He's going to be doing that then?
He's going to be a pregame.
Okay.
Talk about making buku bucks, bro.
Oh.
He's going to make more off the field.
100%. I mean, you look at that deal that Brady signed. What was that? Like, I believe with Fox, what he said was what, like 10-year, $375 million?
And he never went to work.
Yeah.
He never went to work.
He's going to be eventually. But $37 million a year after playing ball? It's not bad.
Hey, life is good. Life is good.
so roles for McMahon, I feel like, again, he's a developmental piece. You know, just looking at the centers and how our center – group is lined up. I mean, he's got an opportunity to be developed. You know, he's got guys that you've never even heard of competing with. Let's see. Jason Poe. Matt Hennessy can play both positions. But I think, you know, again, it's going to be very interesting.
Isn't LaRaven Clark, he's injured now, right?
Yeah, LaRaven. Yeah. That's so Raven of him to be on the IR.
Nice. This guy. Nice. He's been sitting on that one.
Yeah.
He's got it breaking down.
Yeah, he needs the drums.
But yeah, I mean, overall, I mean, that's pretty much we wanted to just look at some of these prospects. You know, obviously it's the mini camp, but it's only 2 days of fun. They're installing some very basic level stuff.
Emphasis on mini.
Yeah. And you know, they also they had a tryout, so the Eagles now have signed Joey Porter Jr.'s nephew, Sean Stevens.
Joe Porter Sr. Joey Porter Jr. just got
drafted. Did I say Jr.?
Yeah,
Senior.
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah. Oh, there's a lot of Junior talk going on.
Yeah, I got you.
Joey Porter Sr. He's a nephew of his. He was a the tryout. I mean, to get it to go to a rookie mini camp tryout and make the team as a D2 star at Ferris State, you got to show some kind of mobility that they like to see. So, I mean, add him in the mix of secondary's got infused with some young young dudes in there.
What about Lakin?
I know you're very high on him.
I thought that was out here on socials about it. I thought it was pretty interesting, and it could just be because of the coincidental of it, because obviously we had a big body in Jordan Mailata who really had never played football, and he ended up still getting drafted. And then you have another guy, you know, from the same part of the world that is another guy that has not played football, but simply has the raw stature and the ability to move people. And so I'm really interested to see, keep in mind that like Jordan Mailata for the first couple years of that, there was fans that were sitting there like, I'm sick of the Jordan Mailata project. There was people that were ready to give up. I'm not going to lie, I probably said something along those lines at some point. That's just being me being transparent. I own my mistake.
Was it Mailata or was it Embiid?
I don't want to talk about that. But
you need to stick to football, guys.
But Jordan Mailata, I thought it was, I mean, obviously, Jeff Stoutland was able to mold him and take a guy that had basically no football, American football experience at all. And he was able to make him into a top flight tackle that went and signed a big extension for himself. And so him getting another raw prospect, big body like Lakin, I'm excited to see what he could do with him. I'm not going to sit here and bank on the fact that it's going to be another Jordan Mailata, but who's to say it won't be?
The cool thing I like to see is that Jordan Mailata is there. He's, you know, he don't have to be there. Like he just called the pick in the draft. Like he was in Australia just a week ago. Now he's at this team facilities, leading the way for these rookies and younger guys to see him. I think he's got to be. We're talking about a guy. I also had him in my seventh round. Of one of my mocks. Just saying that $100 million later, man, Stoutland made him $100 million, dude. And the boy can sing.
Yeah, the boy can sing.
He's got options.
Bro, he just did a collab with Patti LaBelle.
Yo, he got a collab with Patti LaBelle.
The man's gifted in so many ways. Yo, just announced May 15th is the schedule drop.
May 15th? Okay.
May 15th, next one.
Got another week and change.
Nice.
Another guy in attendance at the AJ Brown.
Yeah, I saw him in the background. You know, I mean, I did see that. I love it, man. I love the fact that these veterans are there supporting these guys. Because I mean, like, you got to think about it. At one point when they were rookies, veterans were coming and showing them support. So now they're in those shoes. And, you know, I mean, here they are giving the love right back. So I love it. It just goes to show that, you know what I mean, next man mentality, leadership roles. We just lost Kelsey. We just lost Flex. I mean, come on now. Somebody's going to go ahead and have to fill in that role. Brandon's still there, but Brandon might not be able to do it for himself. So he's looking for that right man, left man, you know what I mean? So, yeah, I love it. I love the fact that those guys are there already.
I think AJ Brown, I think he has to, like, I don't know if he's on this. I just think he's transparent, obviously. The fact that he called in the WIP, that was interesting earlier last season. But I think as a captain, I think he's got to take that. I mean, he's think about his career. He's got two contracts with the Eagles, like money making. Contracts, yeah. Like the big deals. And he said he wants to be here for the rest of eternity. But I think it's a great fit. I think he said, I've had my greatest years here. And before we get out of here, just that, you know, if you go check out the Kenny Gainwell interview, I thought that was very interesting. He said some nuggets. I sent this interview to you guys a couple of days ago, and I was like, hey, did you see the Kenny Gainwell? Now it's making its rounds, but it's definitely interesting to see Kenny Gainwell doesn't really speak much. Like some people don't even know what he looks like unless you're a draft geek.
Some people don't even know what he does.
But I feel like he had something to say. He's like, I felt a certain way when they drafted Saquon. I like that. I like the competition.
Traded for. Yeah.
But that's Saquon. He said, so we're all going to put in work. But then he also talked about the connection issues that were going on. He specifically mentioned the Chiefs as a team that is well connected from the front office to the locker room. What is that? What does that say to you guys?
I mean, I don't know, man. It's just like you try to take a lot out of that, but at the same time, if you're not really there, I don't know. It's hard to really dissect. You see the chemistry that the Kansas City Chiefs have, and then maybe that plays a big factor on the fact that they're now, you know, a three-time Super Bowl winning team, at least that team just in general with, you know, this guy Mahomes being their quarterback and Andy being there. So the fact that he mentioned that, there's some – I don't know, man. It's just like, you know, it's hard. It's hard to really go ahead and, like, pinpoint. But all I could just say is that regardless of whatever happened last year, that's last year. Put that shit away. Leave it back there. You know what I mean? We got to come into this season new, fresh. We got some new rookies. We got a great, great talent that we just ended up picking up. And that's where we need to build off of that. So, you know, hey, all right, you mentioned the Kansas City Chiefs, but I don't give a shit. That's the Kansas City Chiefs. We the Philadelphia Eagles. Let's start our own thing. You know what I mean? Like, let's build our own chemistry, not build it off of, you know, what somebody else is doing.
Mm-hmm. So what Todd asks, is there any other free agent you guys think we sign?
I think that you have to wait and see what happens post June 1st. I mean, all those cuts are going to happen. There's going to be guys that I feel like a lot of people are surprised or let go from other teams. And that is going to be, you know, just another wave for Howie Roseman to kind of surf his way along and find his way, find his guy.
Justin Simmons doesn't move the needle.
Justin Simmons. Yes.
That would be crazy.
At this point. Wait.
I mean, it'd be like, you know, walking into a store, and when you have all these sneakers, and then buying more sneakers.
Let's think about it. Like, is it the name too? Because I remember at the beginning of last year, we're sitting there and we're thinking to ourselves, oh, to add that guy like Kevin Byard onto our team. Dude, I forgot he was even on our team at the end of the year last year. Is he going to be that? He's an older safety. We have guys that are young and developing.
But I'm saying
I'm over it.
The defensive coaching like was bananas, bro. Like that was like walking into like some like, bro, how many coaches we got? The point where Byard had to say, "Hey, we're going to make the calls on the back end because y'all are fucking up."
Yeah, and those calls sucked.
That's how bad.
But I'm just saying, you know, there was a question in here earlier that was asking on I am Mr. Medicals, and there was an update. They were asking about Sydney Brown. I was under the impression he was going to be out to start the year, but the most recent article I could find says that he's expected to be good to go by training camp. And we're sitting here talking about safeties and depth, and that's another guy that I would like to see. I saw flashes out of Sydney Brown that I liked last year. So another guy I would like to continue to develop, and you know, Justin Sim. I think there's other holes. To be honest with you, people are asking, you know, what are the biggest holes you see on this team heading into camp? Wide receiver 3 still for me. That's the hole I want to fill.
I just don't understand if they're thinking that wide receiver 3 is going to be Campbell or John Ross. I mean, he had played football in like 3 years.
Moves the needle for me. Or
Devontae Parker. Neither one moves the needle. Like Devontae Parker. Devontae Parker. Yeah.
I mean, I just feel like they're depth pieces, quality depth pieces.
We need a guy. We need a guy that's going to be there and just eat in the middle of the field. We don't need guys that's going to be just going to be bodies. Like, I'm tired.
Plain and simple. If he's going to go out there and make one more move, I'm all for wide receiver 3. Go find a wide receiver 3.
Tyler Boyd got signed today. I wouldn't have mind a little Tyler Boyd action.
That would have been interesting.
He signed with Tennessee, right? Tennessee Titans?
With Tennessee, yeah.
I mean, would
you be more excited about Tyler Boyd than any of the wide receiver 3 options?
Hell yeah, I would.
Then Devontae Parker, absolutely.
But then
I'm talking about Michael Thomas.
Oh, y'all bugging, no.
Mr. Slant Boy.
He gets hurt every time.
Yeah.
He's been hurt. He's been hurt ever since Drew left.
I wouldn't sign him just because his voice sounds like a cartoon character.
He go looks like a cartoon.
Go listen to one of his interviews. You'd be like, oh, God. Bob asked, did anyone see the roast of Tom Brady last night?
I haven't caught it yet.
I forget this woman comic. I've never heard of her. She killed. She was roasted.
I'll watch.
Was that her?
I think that's who.
She murdered everyone.
I'm gonna go watch it.
Netflix special, right?
Yeah, Netflix killed it. They got a lot of buzz with that. Jacob says you bugging. Bugging about. Oh, Devon.
Harper with a grand slam, eh?
Oh shit. Let's go.
Dwayne, shout out to Dwayne. Let's see. Devon says he take Hunter Renfro.
I would take him over any of the options we have at wide receiver 3 right now.
I would.
Rackcheck says Simmons, Renfro. Yo, Simmons signed with the Giants, bruh. Isaiah Simmons.
Yeah, he bit off the Giants. Yeah. Mm.
I mean, some people are saying linebacker, but bro, we got some players in here.
We need a third option, bro.
Tom Brady said Philly fans are racist.
Oh,
there's factions of them, bro. I'm not gonna lie.
he said to grease the poles up, they used greasy people from Philadelphia.
Oh, that's messed up. All right.
They talk about the Italian.
It's a roast, though. I think people are gonna start getting it's a roast.
I mean, I'm saying Rackshack is calling for Justin Simmons.
Oh, Justin Simmons. You said linebackers, that's why.
But I mean, those are some interesting prospects. It's the off season, and we are gearing up for any news that comes our way because we're ready and willing to talk about anything Eagles at any given moment. But before we get out of here, big shout out to Bud Light for holding down the tailgate for this many years. It's been almost seven years in the making. Shout out to Concha Hawk Italian Bakery. Shout out to Tina and the family and all their delicious foods out there. Shout out to Hollis Thomas in the building. Mm. Shout out to Rebel for giving Evan wings daily. Hey, I got your Red Bull here. I got a cat tower here for your cat Lana.
Presents for me and Lana. We're living.
Frugal gang in the building.
Woody over here. I got your Run Fly Eagles Fly hoodie over here.
Sounds like you're a thief. That's what I'm getting at.
Could be. Could be. But anything you guys want to talk about? We get out of here. You got ready for last word?
I mean, I think as far as the rookies, we covered it all. There's obviously a lot of guys, especially on the defensive side of the ball, that we're excited to see. Guys, I think that can make an immediate impact. But yeah, I'm really excited for this, how this season is going to shake out, and it's really crazy how this team is able to make me forget about the collapse that they had at last season. And with all the changes that they made over this offseason, I'm right back on board, man. I'm right back on board. I'm thinking that we are a contender to win it all. I'm really, really excited. We talk about all the players that we added on this team, but I think that one thing that's not being talked about enough is to have new coordinators that actually have experience in this league and can utilize these elite weapons that we have. Having a mind like Kellen Moore, you being able to use Saquon Barkley and a really good offensive line, and with the versatility of Jalen Hurts to be able to just drop it in the bucket or run the ball. I think there's a lot of different things that we could do. We just got to be smart. So I'm looking forward to it, and go Birds.
That's your last word right there.
Hey, drop
Mike drop. Yeah.
You got any bars you want to rap while you're at it?
I'm not trying to get involved in the beef, bro. I can't live in that.
They ain't like us. Hey.
And what's your last word, Tim?
Shout out to my baby girl. She's about to win state in cheerleading state this weekend. So
let's go,
baby girl.
Oh, baby.
Yeah, man, I'm excited for this, for these rookies to come in, you know, do their job, be a sponge, listen to, and, you know, and listen to the vets, man. You know what I'm saying? They've been there, done that. So, yeah. Oh, also, shout out to you, Gail, for the graphics, bro. The intro.
The intro was killing. It was pleasant.
Yeah, can we get it? Yo, I need a DJ Clue bomb.
I might drop it on the way out, too, bro.
Wow. Was,
the props was coming, man. It was coming from somebody.
Yeah,
he beat us to the punch, man. You did a hell of a job. It was definitely a shocker. You know, I mentioned a couple weeks ago, I think it was probably time for a new intro, but you listened. And you killed it. I like it. I like it a lot, man. I love the fact how you threw your picture in there with Jalen Hurts, left mine's out, but you know, I'm
Yeah. I'm gonna put you in there with Chris Watkins.
you would
too. I'll Photoshop. I'll put you in there
With JJ Arthega Whiteside.
Yeah, we can do that.
Umbrella. Yeah. Hold the umbrella.
Nah, but I want to give a shout out to my daughter, man. Just turned 7 years old. We celebrated her birthday on Sunday. Happy birthday, baby!
Seven.
Yeah, man, 7 years old. Yeah, going fast. Big shout out to the Phillies, man, doing their things, lifting up our spirits because goddamn, those Sixers are sorry ass motherfuckers. You know, anything Eagles, any hot takes we get lately, it's been great news. So you know, like always, man, just looking forward slowly, but looking forward to the season. And hey, like we said, man, the schedule drops next week, so it's even gonna be more exciting to talk about. Other than that, you know what I mean? Go Birds, everybody stay safe.
Last word, the Eagles Autism Challenge is coming right around the corner. I know a couple of us are walking in it. If you want to join us, let us know. We'll be setting up our page up this week. If you want to start fundraising, it's a great opportunity to meet the team, meet the rookies, meet all the fans. For the last couple of years, we've had people that are in these comments walk with us. I know Tony, you might have seen his comments in the chat. He's coming in from down south, flying up for this event. So great opportunity to meet a lot of great fans. Shout out to everybody. Tuning in, you crazy 700 people watching live. Shout out to you guys and all the people that are going to listen to it on the road on podcast. We appreciate you guys, but we will see you guys in the next one. As always, fly, Eagles, fly.